This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
The Revolution with Juan McCartney is sponsored by J.S. Johnson, Burger King, Commonwealth Bank, Marco's Pizza, Ron's Electric Motors, Bahamas Check Services, Scotiabank, and the Digital Transformation Unit.
Afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the revolution here on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. My name is Juan McCartney. So good to have you with us. I hope you all enjoyed your holiday weekend. Mine was all right. Nothing exciting, you know. There was this threat of rain, so I didn't do like a lot of the outdoor stuff that I wanted to do. And then finally, like, it rained like apparently this morning, which I slept through, but my wife and kids apparently did not. So it was pretty good. But I want to go back to before the weekend, all right? Because I wasn't here on Friday. And I'd be remiss if I didn't address this, all right? So firstly, I'll say this, all right? I've been doing this for 15 years, right? Now, what I have found in my time in being a journalist in the Bahamas is that there are a lot of people who are in journalism, there are a lot of people who are dedicated to journalism, but there are very few journalists working today who are fearless. I'm going to repeat that. There are very few journalists working today who are fearless. And what I mean by that is not that they're afraid to print whatever they want to print or to report however they want to report. But there's a balancing act in the Bahamas in which you try to measure out how fulsome your reporting is, how honest your reporting is, right? With your access to those who have information. A fearless journalist doesn't make that calculation. They demand that we get information, and they demand that we be allowed to do our jobs. I don't want to start off this new administration having a bad relationship with the Prime Minister, the office of the Prime Minister, or the Prime Minister's new press secretary, Clint Watson. I've known Clint just about all my life. We're cool, but I will fight anyone, any organization, any government, any political party, if I believe that something unjust is happening. And it's just got to be that way. That's just how I'm built. That's how I live. Now, I want to explain to you what happened. On Friday, there was a meeting, which I was not invited to discuss guidelines that the Office of the Prime Minister and the new press secretary, Clint Watson, wanted to impose on media in terms of coverage of ministers and the prime minister. I'll go through it for you. He ultimately walked it all back, just about everything. But I'll go through it for you, and I'll also go through the accreditation process that they sent, and I'll explain to you what it is that they said. So I saw a lot of people who don't know what they're talking about on social media over the weekend commenting on this. Now, when the guidelines came out, they were put in our news group, and I already knew they were all over, and so I put them in the Bahamas Information Service group, and I said, why was I not invited to this meeting? Why wouldn't you talk about me? In case you don't know what it is I do, I'm telling you this, right? I'm the senior editor at the Nassau Guardian. right? Candida Ames is the executive editor. I'm the senior editor. So I'm involved in all aspects of news gathering, reporting, content for the newspaper, advertising even sometimes. We have departments for that. But the information that governs the running of the organization, I am intimately involved with. Okay? So I'm asking why I wasn't invited to this meeting. And then I explain that what is being proposed is impractical in nature. And I explain that we're not just going to abide by this because this would make the Davis administration function in a way that no administration previously has. Not even the Pinling administration. Pinling had no problem with speaking to journalists, right? In fact, I think he enjoyed the cut and thrust of the debate. Before I get into what the guidelines are, I want to read something for you because a lot of us in this industry, we work hard, but some of us don't understand what it is that we're doing. Okay? Our government in the 1990s signed what is known as the Declaration of Chapultepec. The Declaration of Chapultepec outlines the 10 principles that should govern journalism and information in a society. We're signatory to this document. Prime Minister Davis, I hope you're listening. I'm sorry, Ingram signed it in 2002. The declaration was authored in 94. We came on board 2002. So, Prime Minister Davis, Cabinet of the Bahamas, I sincerely hope if you're not listening to this, somebody allows you to hear what I'm saying. Here are the principles that we as a country have signed on to in the Declaration of Chapultepec. One, no people or society can be free without freedom of expression and of the press. The exercise of this freedom is not something authorities grant. It is an inalienable right of the people. Two, every person has the right to seek and receive information, express opinions, and disseminate them freely. No one may restrict or deny these rights. Three, the authorities must be compelled by law to make available in a timely and reasonable manner the information generated by the public sector. No journalist may be forced to reveal his or her sources of information. Four, freedom of expression and of the press are severely limited by murder, terrorism, kidnapping, intimidation, the unjust imprisonment of journalists, the destruction of facilities, violence of any kind, and impunity for perpetrators. Such acts must be investigated promptly and punished harshly. Five, prior censorship, restrictions on the circulation of the media or dissemination of their reports, forced publication of information, the imposition of obstacles to the free flow of news and restrictions on the activities and movements of journalists directly contradict freedom of the press. I'll say this part for you again. Restrictions on the activities and movements of journalists directly contradict freedom of the press. Six, the media and journalists should neither be discriminated against nor favored because of what they write or say. The media and journalists should never be discriminated against nor favored because of what they write or say. The last administration, the Minnesota administration, discriminated against us, tried to deny us for years, almost absolutely, the publication of the Gazette, which is in law, because they didn't like the editorial positions we took that were critical of the prime minister. And he straight up punished us. The media and journalists should neither be discriminated against nor favored because of what they write or say. Okay? Number seven, tariff and exchange policies, licenses for importation of paper of news-gathering equipment, the assigning of radio and television frequencies, and the granting or withdrawal of government advertising may not be used to reward or punish the media or individual journalists. the granting or withdrawal of government advertising may not be used to reward or punish the media or individual journalists. 8. The membership of journalists in guilds, their affiliation to professional and trade associations, and the affiliation of the media with business groups must be strictly voluntary. 9. The credibility of the press is linked to its commitment to truth, to the pursuit of accuracy, fairness, and objectivity, and to the clear distinction between news and advertising. The attainment of these goals and the respect for ethical and professional values may not be imposed. These are the exclusive responsibility of journalists and the media. In a free society, it is public opinion that rewards or punishes. 10. No news medium nor journalist may be punished for publishing the truth or criticizing or denouncing the government. Let's talk briefly about principle one. No people or society can be free without freedom of expression and of the press. The exercise of this freedom is not something authorities grant. It is an inalienable right of the people. And they break the principles down by contribution. So let's look at contribution to principle one. As for its origin, freedom of expression and of the press must not be subject to the whim of authorities or of the written law. If freedom of expression and of the press were to be established only in current laws, their content and protection would have a precarious basis. Let's look at principle six real quick. The media and journalists should neither be discriminated against nor favored because of what they write or say. Okay? If we look at principle six, we see the following definitions. 1, discrimination in any manner of making access to information difficult or denying such access when it is the duty of the state and its agents to provide it. Okay? Discrimination in any manner. I'm reading this for you because I'm going to read you something, and you tell me if what we saw coming out of the Office of the Prime Minister lines up with the Declaration of Chapultepec that we're a signatory to. Discrimination in any manner of making access to information difficult or denying such access when it is the duty of the state and its agents to provide it. 2, favor is that which harms freedom of expression. It is the granting of any privilege to news media or journalists in order to stimulate praise, create bias in reporting, express ideological commitment, or other conduct which damages the reliability and credibility of information. All right? So bearing that in mind, I want to go through what it is that was said. Okay? This is Press Guidelines for the Office of the Prime Minister and Cabinet Ministers. Clint Watson called me after I opposed this and said it was a consultative document. He said that they're not going to do these things, which I don't know why they sat and write them down. But here's what they are. All right, 5th October, 2021. All requests for interviews and comments from the Prime Minister will be facilitated through the press secretary. Okay, fair enough. You're the Prime Minister's press secretary. If he wants to book interviews for you, through you and comment from you, he's hired you to do that job. You work in the office of the Prime Minister, knock yourself out. He's going to perhaps limit his interactions with media if this is the only avenue through which we can get him. But it's perfectly fine if you want your secretary to schedule interviews for the news media, your press secretary. Here's the next one. All requests for interviews and comments from cabinet ministers should be facilitated through the office of the press secretary. Okay, so first of all, that's not going to work, okay? I'll explain something to you. Well, let me read this for you. So we're not going to go through you to get interviews and comments from cabinet ministers. That is absurd. There are 22 cabinet ministers and one of you. It is absolutely impractical. To even suggest it makes no sense. Let's go further. New guidelines. Absolutely no interviews should take place while the Prime Minister or a cabinet minister is attending an event unless pre-approved by the office of the press secretary or the minister. This also makes no practical sense. Let me let you in on a little secret. The only time a cabinet minister does not want to talk to the press is when there's a matter for controversy and they're asked to address it. And that is, in fact, the time when they should be talking to the press and most willing to be talking to the press to address the controversy. All right? I'm going to hip you to something so that you understand. These cabinet ministers want to be in the news. They want their picture on the paper. They want the Jamal Rule to draw cartoons of them. They frame them. They love it. They want to be on television. They want to be on radio. They want to be seen as the person. Someone has suggested to me, well, the cabinet ministers are not the subject matter experts. The permanent secretaries would be. I dispute that, but let's just say that that's true. In our society, permanent secretaries do not speak to the media. The bureaucrats don't talk to the media hardly ever. You have some instances where that doesn't happen, like the financial secretary, Marlon Johnson, would have spoken. Simon Wilson, he spoke recently. But by and large, unless directed to speak by the minister, the culture in the government of the Bahamas is the minister speaks, whether he's the subject matter expert or not. If you dare to speak on a policy issue outside of having the minister's approval for it, see where you're going to get. Let's continue. Random cabinet office interviews will be discontinued and replaced with a structured cabinet press briefing at the briefing room at OPM. I have no philosophical issue with that. All right? If the cabinet ministers are going to be available all the time, or every week, you're saying, then fine. Okay? But if we need to find a cabinet minister and we don't know where he is and we know that he's going to go to cabinet, I see no issue with us going to cabinet to find that cabinet minister. Okay? A structured cabinet press briefing. Someone said to me, not to me, I saw on social media, because y'all don't know. Y'all talk and y'all don't know. I get it. I do that too, right? I speak about, you know, the hospital and stuff like that. I try to find out what I'm talking about, but I don't work in the hospital, right? So y'all don't know. That's why y'all are saying this. Someone said the media doesn't like structure. Let's go back to the Declaration of Chapultepec. It is not the role of the government to instruct the media how to operate. Period. Only accredited journalists and staff will be permitted into cabinet OPM briefings. Accredited ID badges must be worn at all time. Okay? The question that raises to me is, who's doing the accreditation? Apparently you. And I'll go through your accreditation form. But this says, reporters requesting specific responses to issues should communicate with the press secretary's office by 6 p.m., the latest, the night before the briefing. This is important to ensure maximization of the press briefings. So we got to submit specific questions by 6 p.m. the night before. What if something happens late at night and we want to get a question into the minister? Now, Clint says that he's shifting all this. And they're trying to, like, some people are telling me he's trying to reframe it like, oh, I'm the troublemaker and only me had a problem with it. That's totally not true. In fact, they screenshot, like, the conversations from the BIS group. I know how to screenshot, too, you know. And all you people in the BIS group who were afraid to say anything, who were DMing me, no problem. I'll do it. I'll be the fall guy. I'll be the guy who stands up for what is right. Okay? Cabinet briefings will take place on cabinet days. OPM briefings will take place on Mondays and Wednesdays, 2 p.m. The Prime Minister will appear at briefings monthly or in the event of a national crisis unless otherwise indicated. Okay? Members of the media should arrive no later than a half hour before the start of briefing to clear up security and setup. Okay, fine. Accreditation. Let's talk about it. Okay? Each media house will be issued accreditation for two journalists, two videographers / photographers. We recommend that seasoned team members be sent for these assignments as we seek to establish new media protocols for our national leaders. Accreditation forms should be filled out by media houses and submitted to the Office of the Press Secretary for approval and the creation of IDs. Should there be a change to media personnel, a new name should be submitted through the application process and the previous ID surrendered to this office before a new one is issued. Okay, so let me help you to understand. An accreditation process for an organization like CNN that hires that has hundreds of people working for it, I could understand. And you can only, and you say, okay, well, hell, Jim Acosta is our dedicated White House correspondent, chief White House correspondent. So we're going to get him accredited through the White House, all right? And the reason the White House does accreditation is to make access easier for these journalists because the White House is an incredibly secure location. So every journalist has to be vetted, XYZ, because the security level threat to the President of the United States is extraordinarily high, right? There's no security concern that I'm aware of as far as our talking to the Prime Minister in the Bahamas as it currently exists. If you say that, then you'd have to show me some sort of police intelligence that says that there's a security risk with us talking to the Prime Minister without being accredited, right? We work for news organizations that are established. This organization has been here since 1844. All right? We're going to hire people who we believe can do the job. They say they recommend that seasoned team members be sent because they have young reporters, right? So we don't have resources like these big organizations and the White House and all that stuff like that. We have, it's a lot of moving parts, and sometimes you got to move at the drop of a dime. People get sick, people take vacations. So all of our journalists, our position is, should be allowed to attend the press briefing. Now, if you're saying only two can attend that day, or only one can attend that day, fair enough. But let's talk about the accreditation. Here's what the accreditation asks. This is what you need to fill out to get accredited to cover Prime Minister's press briefings. Name, date of birth, address. I know why you need my address. Media organization, position, contact office, mobile, years of service, right? Okay, I don't know why I have years of service. Let's go through the questions. Do you have any conflicts of interest in covering the Prime Minister or a cabinet minister? Yes or no? If so, please explain. What on earth does that mean? What constitutes a conflict of interest in covering the Prime Minister or a cabinet minister for someone working in a media organization? If you have a conflict of interest working in a media organization, then you simply try to stay away from dealing with that particular cabinet minister. Maybe that's your dad, you know, or it's your uncle. And so you shouldn't be reporting on it because you can't have a lot of distance with it. Maybe that's you know, a part of it. But, you know, it depends. You got to play by ear. So, for instance, and many of you would know, the Guardian's executive editor, Candia Dames, is former Minister of National Security Marvin Dames' brother. And so when things come up, Candia would with Marvin Dames, she'd normally be like, you deal with it, okay? Because people aren't going to be able to look at my work writing about my brother with an unbiased eye. So you deal with it. So that represents a conflict. Does that mean then that Candia couldn't cover the Prime Minister? By virtue of that, she doesn't get accredited by the Office of the Prime Minister. Are you a member of or associated with any organization or movement that has opposed government on any matter? Yes, no, if so, please explain. So, you're telling me that if I'm associated with any organization or movement that has ever opposed the government of the Bahamas, I cannot cover the Prime Minister Is that what you're suggesting? Let's return briefly to the Declaration of Chapultepec. Discrimination in any manner of making access to information difficult or denying such access when it is the duty of the state and its agents to provide it. Favor is that which harms freedom of expression. It is the granting of any privilege to news media or journalists in order to stimulate praise, create bias in reporting, express ideological commitment, or other conduct which damages the reliability and credibility of information. How is it appropriate for the office of the Prime Minister, and I'm not trying to make, you know, enemies, but I've been doing this long enough, so y'all should know, I'm not going to take it. And just because it's your party, you can't justify it for me, because things underlie the principles by which we operate. And if you don't understand those things, say that and allow me to explain them to you. But don't just speak as if you know, because you don't. That's not how this is supposed to work. The government is not to vet the media. It goes completely against the principles of freedom of information and expression. They are inalienable rights. I don't know which organization is going to submit this accreditation, but maybe someone will, right? Let me go back to the rest of the guidelines. We're almost through them, right? And I don't plan on dealing with this all day. They say send seasoned team members, right? And so they tell me the logic behind this is that a lot of young reporters ask dumb questions or uninformed questions. And that's true. Okay? We could be doing a better job of informing ourselves as journalists before we speak with prime minister and cabinet ministers. That's fine. I wholeheartedly agree. We could do better. However, a lot of cabinet ministers give dumb answers to very sensible questions. We just had a prime minister who, when asked the most sensible, basic questions, could not give a sensible, intelligent, straight answer. Sounded crazy. We all could do better. If a young reporter needs guidance, we can offer that guidance. But sometimes that's the only person who's available to go do the assignment. And when they ask dumb questions, we tell them, why are you asking these questions? They don't make any sense. You got to research this stuff before you ask them about it. Or I would give them questions to ask. And I tend not to ask dumb questions. Okay, interviewing protocols. All off-the-cuff and face-to-face interviews with the prime minister that are permitted at an event must be shot with boom stands to ensure social distancing with the leader and reporters. Anyone not in possession of such a device will not be permitted to participate in the interview. The press secretary or an officer from the OPM press office will advise at the event if the prime minister will be taking side interviews and the parameters of such an interview. Failure to comply could result in credentials being reconsidered from the OPM and cabinet minister press pool. Failure to comply could result in credentials being reconsidered from the OPM and prime minister's press pool. Back to the Declaration of Chapultepec. Favor is that which harms freedom of expression. It is the granting of any privilege to news media or journalists in order to stimulate praise, create bias in reporting, express ideological commitment, or other conduct which damages the reliability and credibility of information. Principle one. As for its origin, freedom of expression and of the press must not be subject to the whim of authorities. I'm not tripping off your boom mic. But failure to have a boom mic means you might or might not yank my OPM credentials. Other COVID-19 protocols must be followed. That's fine. The Prime Minister should be addressed as Prime Minister Davis or Prime Minister. Cabinet ministers should be addressed as Minister such and such, Minister, or by their surnames using Mr., Miss, or Mrs. That's ludicrous. Firstly, I've yet to hear anyone address Prime Minister Davis in any disrespectful manner who works in the news media. Maybe you know of an instance where someone's like, hey, Brave, that doesn't happen. When we're referring to him colloquially as Brave Davis, because the man said, call me Brave. Okay? But no one goes up to Brave Davis and goes, hey, Brave, what do you think about it? No. It's always Prime Minister, even if you have no regard for their prime ministership, even the minister, the Prime Minister. We don't need you to tell us to use Mr. or Miss or Mrs. before addressing a cabinet minister. Get real. What do y'all want? But should we address them as most honorable before we speak as well? What are you talking about? I see people on social media, oh, it's disrespectful to refer to them by their last name. It's nonsense. It's no disrespect. How does it take anything away from them by calling them by what their last name is? You hear it all the time, all over the world. A press officer will indicate the final question toward the end of the briefing. No further questions should be asked thereafter. That's fine. All right? So after the pushback, right, here's what Clint had to say. And again, I'm not trying to war with Clint. I just want what's right to be done. Okay? This is a solution in search of a problem. Is what this is. It says, early this week, I crafted new guidelines to form the basis of a discussion with members of the media and invited news leaders who regularly cover government to attend a Zoom meeting so they could provide feedback. I wasn't there, but okay. This says, the guidelines were drafted for the following goals in mind: to ensure that requests from media receive a response in a timely manner, to expand access to government officials beyond the biggest players in the media so that new voices can participate, especially during briefings, to make sure health and security protocols are respected during media government interactions. Okay. In the past, journalists would camp out in front of cabinet hoping to grab a soundbite from a minister rushing on his or her way into the meeting. This was never an ideal system, but has become even more problematic with the cabinet temporarily located downtown and the media forced to block sidewalks on Bay Street. Again, I don't have a problem with structured cabinet briefings. Okay? This says, to facilitate security at both cabinet briefings and OPM briefings, we will be providing accreditation to badges to participating members of the media. Listen to this. This will only enhance security for our officials. This will not only enhance security for our officials, but also reduce the security-related red tape and delays journalists have faced in the past. What delays journalists face in the past? I've been to the office of the Prime Minister 100 times for different functions. You sign in at the desk. The Defense Force officers who, we'll talk about Columbus in a minute, the Defense Force officers who guard the office of the Prime Minister, there's Defense Force and police there, they make you sign in. And if they don't know who you are, they often will ask you for ID. No one just traipses through the office of the Prime Minister. It doesn't happen. You won't get through the door without checking in with the guards. What is the security threat that you speak of? And how does you asking me if I have any conflicts of interest in covering the Prime Minister or a cabinet minister, enhance security? How does you asking me if I'm a member or associated with any organization or movement that has opposed government on any matter, enhance security at the office of the Prime Minister? I don't see any security questions asked. We got a break? Let's take a break. We'll be back.
Oh. Tired of banks forcing you to use technology to bank the way they want you to? Your convenience is important. So no matter what your banking needs, Commonwealth Bank's friendly staff are always available in branch for that personal one-on-one service. But when you choose technology, our online and mobile banking app offers you state-of-the-art functionality. The choice is yours. Commonwealth Bank. Bank the way you want.
Summer is heating up, and Burger King Nassau is bringing the flavor. Introducing our all-new take on a classic chicken sandwich, the Barbecue Swiss Crispy King. Our new sandwich is full of smoky and tangy flavor and features our crispy chicken patty with tangy chipotle sauce, onion rings, bacon, Swiss cheese, lettuce, and tomato, plus a smoky barbecue sauce on a soft potato bun. The new Barbecue Swiss Crispy King chicken sandwich with fries and a Pepsi is a summer treat you will love to eat, but only available for a limited time, and only at Burger King Nassau, where taste is king.
At Ron's Electric Motors, they repair and rewind all major brands of electric motors, including water pumps, generators, and the generator's back end, welding machines, electric lifts, air compressors, battery chargers, and more. They're equipped to handle up to 850 kilowatts and rewind up to 450 horsepower motors. They're conveniently located on the corner of Wolf and Clarence Roads and are open weekdays 8 a.m. to 5 p.m., Saturdays till noon. They offer 24 hours emergency assistance. You can reach them at 242-356-0249.
You have a new text message from Scotia.
Scotiabank is adding text messaging to its communication channels to keep customers updated in quicker and safer ways. As of November 4th, Scotiabank will be using text messaging to provide notifications on the minimum payment required for your credit card and due dates. Customers may continue to access their credit card statements on Scotia Online or through our mobile banking app. Learn more by contacting customercare-bahamas@scotiabank.com or call 356-1697.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Welcome back to the revolution, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Juan McCartney. So good to have you with us. So Clint goes on to say, and I guess, you know, he's in his feelings and that's fine, right? It is what it is. And we'll press on. This says they're not going to stop us from interviewing people at events and all the stuff like that. If we want to, then go ahead and do it. They're not going to stop us talking to the prime minister. He's upset that he's saying it's a manufactured controversy. I mean, it ain't no manufactured thing for me. He says a free press is essential for democracy and national growth. While change sometimes fosters apprehension, we are confident that the press, the government, the public will all benefit from greater professionalism in government media relations. Look, it's not that I don't like Clint. I love him. I love his parents. I know them. It's not that I don't like the PLP or the Prime Minister. I like Brave Davis a lot. As a person, he's only been Prime Minister a short while. We'll see how that turns out. I like him a lot. I know his children. Okay? It's that this is a bad idea. And that sometimes happens. People have bad ideas, and my entire point was, if you allow me to come to the meeting, I can explain to you why your intentions may be good. This hinders freedom of the press, and that is never a good thing. The winners of the Nobel Peace Prize this year were journalists. One in the Philippines, one in, I think it's Russia, right? They are under constant threat, but yet they still publish. In Russia, the guy had 6 people killed who work for him. They throw journalists in jail. when you start clawing back freedom of expression and freedom of press, and his intention was to expand freedom, but I guess he didn't see how this would inhibit it. When you start clawing those things back, then we lose what makes our society democratic. All right? I'm not mad at anybody. Someone's like, oh, a journalist told me that someone from the OPM was saying that cabinet ministers are mad that I threatened them, saying we have lots of ink and lots of airtime. It's no threat. We do. It's just an immutable fact. We have lots of airtime to talk about why this is a bad idea. Numerous cabinet ministers messaged me and said, I'm not abiding by that. So it would be remiss of me not to deal with this. This is not an angry rant at the Davis administration. It is to help you understand. And those of you in social media who are speaking to things you perhaps do not understand, why I oppose this. And I hope that you have a clearer understanding of it now. I'll read some of your texts before we go to a break. It says, it would be good if it was possible for you to broadcast or upload to YouTube. I miss the show sometimes, and it would be good to be able to go back and listen as well, as it would be a form of income. Thanks. It does. We do put it on YouTube, eh? It says, Juan, it was a clear attempt. Every Friday they put it on YouTube. Juan, it was a clear attempt from the ride-the-wave government, Juan, to wash away democracy. Clinton knows why he rolled back on that communist policy. And my understanding is that the prime minister was unaware. He's not someone who restricts access to journalists. He used to have a monthly press briefing as leader of the PLP. You could call him and ask for an interview. He'd meet you at his office in the Baypar building, the office of the opposition. And he would give you the interview and he'd speak to it. Brave Davis is not a man who is fearful of the media. In the most controversial of circumstances, he will speak to you and state for you his position. He does not run at all. This is one of the principles you read are vital to a democratic society and, in fact, protect us from totalitarianism. We would be a dictatorship without them. It says, Minister Darvall's appearance on Beyond the Headlines, case in point, that the minister is not the same. It says, Clint harassed politicians for years and then joined the wave and said enough is enough. Wow, what a laugh. Yeah, we do go to YouTube. We do upload. Says the cabinet minister is expected to speak to the public in the media when necessary because they all work for the taxpayers. Says, good day, these politicians need to understand that thinking Bahamians that care about the way this country is ran depend on the press for information. When they restrict the media, they are telling me, a citizen, I don't need or deserve to know what they're doing. This is the exact reason why former PM Innes is where he is right now. This says, great show as usual. I heard from a source the media will actually be talking to Clint instead of the PM. The PM will speak to the press if deemed necessary, if or he chooses to, but that's what the people vote for in a large majority. It's a new day. I don't believe that we're going to have less access to the prime minister at all. And Clint's been a journalist longer than I have. All right? And I don't believe that he doesn't believe in freedom of the press. But sometimes you have well-intentioned things that end up having negative results. It says, good day, could you kindly find out for us when the next shipment of Pfizer vaccines will be in the country? I think they're going to be here shortly. I didn't look at that story because we had a story with Darvall talking about it. It says, what's with the well-seasoned journalist recommendation? Why young people can't be given a chance? How are they going to make their bones and get their experience? Says, I'm glad you're dealing with this today, Juan, and breaking it down. Watson will not last long. I mean, I hope that Clint is very successful in his new job. Okay? I really do. to the extent that we can help him be successful, I'm all on board. But this is not going to work. It says, one, all I will say, let me, as a regular citizen, make this clear to my new government and PM. The media is an extension of the people. It is the fourth estate, and if you agree with this garbage to muzzle the media, trust me, you'll be packing before 4 years is over. Prime Minister Davis, we have high hopes for you. Don't let no one cause you your greatness, sir. You are warned. All right, let's go to the news break, and then we'll be back on the other side. You can weigh in if you want as well, and I want to figure out what went down with Columbus, too.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
Good afternoon, Bahamas, and welcome back to The Revolution here on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. We were talking about the press guidelines, and I hopefully clarified for you why it's a problem, because I saw a lot of people talking on social media. I don't comment on social media anymore other than to be like, happy birthday or happy anniversary or my condolences or something like this. I just don't possess the desire to interact on it in that fashion any longer, or at the time, for the time being, perhaps, who knows, we'll see, but I don't get involved, right? And I was like, okay, everybody's going to have their thing, that's fine, all right? People are going to have opinions, and I'm trying to figure out whose opinion is actually informed to speak to this. So one person said, that's good for them. The news is always government and politics. The news is always government. Which country on this planet, democratic, communist, whatever, where the news is not dominated by what the structures of government are doing and by how policymakers are shaping the path for the country? Where does that not happen? It's just a problem with the Bahamas. Now, if you want to say we're lazy, I can accept that as a constructive criticism. Some of us are lazy. If you could say that we're not well-researched, some of us are not well-researched. I try to be. But to say we shouldn't cover what the government is doing, who on earth thinks that? You don't want to know what the government is doing when they're taking $3 billion of your tax money and spending it? You're not the least bit curious as to how they're utilizing that? You're not the least bit curious if people who got promotions will not receive them, or if they're going to delay them further? You're not the least bit curious about what the Davis administration plans to do? Seriously? You fault us for covering the government? In which country is the government not covered? Answer me that. And then we can talk. You can call me, by the way. 323-6232. 323-6232. 325-4316. 325-4316. And 325-4259. 325-4259. The text line is 422-4796, 422-4796. All right. It says, as bad as this is, it's a shame it's still way better than Minnis, who refused to speak with the breath. But listen, the fact that Minnis was bad at it, don't excuse this. They're two separate issues, right? We can both acknowledge that Minnis was terrible when it came to dealing with the press and acknowledge that this is this counteracts the principles of freedom of expression. Okay? We got, call me. You got to give me a second to take the phone call. They call it there, and I immediately hang up. 323-6232, 325-4316, and 325-4259. The text line is 422-4796. Says, one, this sounds like a bunch of foolishness. They're trying to police the press. This is an outrage. It means the people are too lax. Who in the world thought this would be viewed as anything else than an attempt to suppress media coverage? I don't know, man. Let's go to the phone call. It's fine. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution.
A pleasant good afternoon, Juan.
Hey, buddy.
How are you doing today?
I'm great. How's it going?
I'm doing fine. Thank you very much. And good afternoon to the nation. I was listening to your, translation of what you found to be non-acceptable in the new regulations or the new proposed regulations, mm-hmm. because as you stated, they're not going through. Per what you expressed was communicated to you privately, right? And but what really prompted me to call in was where you acknowledged the mode of operation of Prime Minister Davis and his history and demonstrating that he is someone who has been and who still is prepared to be transparent and accountable with the media, who has a track record of hosting media presentations, media interviews, whether it be at the office of the opposition at the time which he held, whether it be at his office at Davis & Co., whether it be at the PRP headquarters, or even on the steps of Parliament, which demonstrates that he's somebody who's prepared to answer to the media, mm-hmm. by extension, the Bohemian people, because the Bohemian people draws its information from predominantly from the media, whether it be through written talk shows, television, or social, right? And so I wanted to give you kudos for that, because I note that in many instances where corrections are being made to a particular challenge as it relates to opposition or government, the credit on the flip side is never highlighted or singled out to the individual in their mode of operation, which you chose to do today. And so I give you big respect for that.
Thank you.
As it relates to the discussion, I guess this will be my first input on a matter relating to my government. I had some concerns as it relates to what I would have read and seen as well. And similar to what you have expressed, I do believe that the intentions were good. And I also believe at the same time, though, that they needed to be more well thought through and more critically analyzed before presenting them to the public. But I understand at the same time that this information was leaked to the public, right? Mm-hmm. Am I correct?
It was put inside a group. It was put in our news group. I put it in the BIS group, and it went all over the world from there. So I don't know who put it out.
Okay, and I would also like to, as it relates to this whole situation and other situations that may come up from time to time, the guiding philosophy for any policy or any structure or any program being designed should always be designed around the philosophy and the structure that has been pronounced or that has been put in writing by the Prime Minister, right? And in this case, his is a position that he's fully transparent, he's fully accountable, and he continues to be that way, and he looks forward to bringing the Bohemian people along as he's pronounced, even as Prime Minister, especially on major decisions that will impact the lives of Bohemian people and include all stakeholders that will be impacted simultaneously. Thank you for the opportunity. Continue the good work, Swan. God bless.
Okay, thanks a lot. Let's do this. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution.
Yes, good afternoon.
Hey, how's it going?
Hello?
Yes, I'm here.
Is Brother McGarney?
Yes, sir.
Hey, Brother McGarney.
Yes, sir.
I just called you, right? It ain't concerning what you're dealing with now, because I'm trying to catch up with you for a little while, but I did one letter there with you about 2 weeks ago.
You did?
Yeah, Vincent Wallace, concerning our medical assistance.
Oh, I don't recall that. Okay, well, tell you what. Hold the line and give Arlington your information. You're going to have to hold a moment for me. And give Arlington your information, and I'll try to contact you today, okay?
Okay,
thanks. I do apologize. People do send me correspondence. I try to get to them. I could be better at it. Emails as well. It says, good afternoon, tell Clint, get off his high horse. If the shoe was on the other foot, he'd be screaming. It says, one, Clint knows exactly what brought Menace down. It's the media and him in particular that rave tirelessly against Menace, whether fair or not. One, Jones is not having it either. Yeah, Wendell Jones is vocal in the group as well. Says, Juan, you know exactly what went down with Columbus. It's a known fact. You have numerous human droids ready to take down all colonial vestiges. Where can I join? Let's talk about that for a second, right? So, firstly, Columbus was a monster, okay? And he didn't discover anything. He came here after a short while, enslaved the people. All the indigenous residents of the Bahamas were either slaughtered here or slaughtered in Hispaniola, all right? He facilitated murder, rape, infanticide, genocide, okay? We don't need to have a statue at Government House. Someone say put in a museum. You could put in a museum if you want to, because I know that, you know, freed Africans commissioned the statue for Governor Carmichael Smith, right? So, and the white assemblyman didn't want it in Parliament Square, so he put it at Government House. Okay, fair enough. It doesn't need to be there now that we're clear about Columbus's legacy. However, you're not going to get me to support somebody taking matters into their own hands and destroying the statue. We got to do things with order and decency, right? In fact, I want them to tear down Government House. I don't know what you're pouring millions of dollars in it for. It don't hold nothing of value to me, all right? I don't support the guy just busting open the statue. Now, here's my question, right? How does this man come on Government House grounds with a sledgehammer, gives an entire shouting, screaming speech, busts open Columbus's leg, busts off Columbus's leg, and then busts off the man's arm, busts off piece of the pedestal, and nobody catches that. Now, after Vincent Perpall was murdered, the Royal Bahamas Defense Force officer was murdered at Government House, I realized there was a problem. I think there's maybe an even deeper problem than we thought. Because I could understand if you believe it was a fellow officer who did it in XYZ. I could understand that. And that led to a lapse in security, and they knew the layout, and they knew that. I don't say that's... But I'm just saying that maybe that security breach, you understand how circumstances could have led to that to happen. But this, I don't understand. Now, Raymond King, the Defense Force Commodore, was saying that, keep in mind, it's a construction site. Fair enough. Okay, fair enough. It's a construction site. But what does that mean specifically? Does that then mean that anyone who looks like they're performing construction can walk onto the site? When my kids passed it, by the time my wife took a selfie in front of it when I was fresh bus up. When I passed taking my kids somewhere, All right, it was all wrapped up in blue, and I remember like, see, this is where the guy broke up the statue of governor. And the first question my son asked was, how did he get in there? So I'm gonna ask my son's question. How did this man get there? That's deeply concerning. All right. I don't know if he appeared to be having some sort of mental episode. I don't know what the case is. All right. Again, I don't support Columbus statue being there in any form of fashion, but I can't support the guy going on the government house grounds and breaking up the statue. All right. If you let that ride and that everyone's allowed to do these things, then, you know, let's use our it's Percival Prepaul. You said Vincent Prepaul. It was Percival Vincent Prepaul. Was his name, I do believe, yeah. What we need to do is organize ourselves as civil society and petition the government to deal with these statues once and for all. Three in particular, the statue of Christopher Columbus at Government House, the statue of Woods Rogers, all right, outside the Hilton, and the statue of Queen Victoria in Parliament Square. I got a problem with Queen Victoria, okay? So I've watched several good movies about her, and that's entertaining, but I got a problem with Queen Victoria's reign and legacy, okay? And particularly how it pertains to the Bahamas. So I think it should go, all right? I had suggested putting it in Nassau Harbor, maybe a nice coral garden would form around it. You can have scuba diving tours, all right? This is Philip Percival Prepaul. I'm sorry, if I said Vincent, then that's incorrect, then okay. Philip Prepaul. It says, one, how's the statue smashing in any incident different from the person who used the tractor to remove the boulders on Munnings Road the day after the election? That's why it's very important to uphold the law without fear or favor. While I disagree with both incidents, the Columbus smashing guy should get off because the boulders moving guy got off. Yeah, I mean, I'm happy with the fact that Munnings Road is now open, but again, you want to do things in decency and in proper order. Right? That's how I feel about it. This says, great show as usual. What will change by taking down Columbus statue? Answer, nothing. The black community will still be killing each other. Cost of living will still be high. And these banks will still be raping us with hidden charges. That may be so. Right? But there is something to say that you can be honest about your cultural history. And that you don't have to have representations of oppression and some of the darkest times in our country prominently displayed. We don't have to have those things there. Will moving those things solve all our problems? No. But it will alleviate the burden we now carry, where we try to culturally justify why these things are there and they shouldn't be. All right? It says, one, I think that should go. Could we throw that in the water? It says, we expect to hear from the PLP administration on which date will the Office of the Freedom of Information Act be open. That's going to be months from now. It says, why are we blaming Columbus? He was the point man. Blame the government that supported him and sent in the military to deal with quote-unquote trade. I blame them as well. All right, so says, who crafted these outlines? Sounds like a Democrat. Not sure if that came from Clint. Almost sounds like something Menace would come up with. Let's go to the phone lines. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution.
Good afternoon. How are you doing, my friend?
I'm good. How's it going?
I'm fine, man. Remember the last time I spoke to you and I said that I would give this administration 6 months a year? Mm-hmm. And you say, no. Let's do things now. See? We make people gotta understand. See, you have to be careful when you change the government. See, why I'm saying this, right? Everything stopped with you and cancer. See, I know what I'm saying. The cost of the taxpayers money and money. Now, you know what happened, one? Now, you see why America only put us on this on this blacklist and stuff? Country too slack. How is Taylor gonna kill up there by the embassy? This, that, of that, huh? See, we want really to fix this country. Nothing can change this country until 2027, when the real vehement persons are going to fix this country. Not the people who swear they listen to the Queen, her heirs, and her successors. The Queen didn't want but me and you and one and my children and grandchildren.
No, not at all.
See, the kids right. See, why don't they put that to referendum? After many people put it to referendum, if people want to move Columbus statue and all these things. I can be fair with you, that's history. That's all 500 years of history. I can remember the quintessential 500 years. We watched the world be this country. See, one, it's all about the education. We know that Christopher Columbus didn't discover the new world. He met people in this country, like ours, the Caribs, right? And what happened? He was given criminals to come to this part of the world because the Europeans think the world was flat at the drop off. See, it's all about teaching history. And you got to blame our own people, you got to blame our own leaders. It's wrong. Huh? They're teaching our people, okay, Bobby, Jack, all kinds of focus, and the white people learning algebra, physics, commerce, home economics, and all kinds of things. That's why they're so far ahead of us, man, in life. One, we can fix this country. How much not a big country?
Okay.
We got plenty of money. We got plenty of money. Just bad policies by all administration. They like the foreigners more than like their own people. I mean, the top of the foreigners and like that. And like the text writer said a while ago, the bank's killing us. This is the bank's killing us. This needs to stop. John wanted to be fired. They got over $10 billion in these banks and farmers and one lot of people money at 3 or 4% interest rate. And they can't do it in their own country. Thanks for taking my call, my brother.
Okay, bro. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution. Hello. Good afternoon. Let's try another line. Hello. Good afternoon.
Hey, good afternoon, Juan. How are you today?
I'm great. How's it going?
Well, I think we need to be receiving restitution from Columbus's generation plus England for the 500 years plus of lies that we've been taught throughout our whole history of the Bahamas.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't condone what the gentleman did as a Bahamian, right? But I don't think he should be served no jail time. He should either be committed with a fine and some community service. But it's about time now we look at this thing properly and start to rewrite our own history instead of continue on a history nobody knows is false. Thank you.
Okay, appreciate it, my brother. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution.
A pleasant good afternoon, Mr. McCartney.
Hey, man.
Sabaki here.
Yes, sir.
I have a suggestion in regards to the three statues that you mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
I think one of the big things, we get one of them big, long 40-foot trailers, put all three of them on, march all three of them out of town in a westerly direction, and donate them to the Life at Key Foundation, and make sure they are behind the gates of Life at Key, where all those foreigners of that like kind who love to see those statues,
mm-hmm.
we'll be able to look at them all day. Maybe put them on the golf course in Life at Key, where only those rich, famous people could see it, and none of us could see it no more other than the security guards and the Filipinos that go down there. Have a good day.
Okay. All right. It says, God save the Bahamas from these non-royal Bahamians who want to rewrite history. Well, we don't need to rewrite it. We just need to be honest about our history. This says, we need to stop romanticizing and reminiscing about our colonial past. Columbus and Queen Victoria and them statues need to come from around here. I agree. I don't. It says, is Minister K still at Obama's Information Service? Is Kevin Harris still in charge of Obama's Information Service? No, Kevin left, and he was replaced by Elcott Kobe. Mm-hmm. It says, pirates expel, commerce restored was once our motto. Yeah, it was Peru. I forget the Latin. So sad that commerce was slavery, and we still hold the man who made sure the trade stayed alive at high esteem. Was Rogers? Yeah, yeah. He oversaw slavery here. He You could argue himself captured and sold slaves, right? Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution. Hello, good afternoon. No, let's try a different line.
Hello.
Yes, good afternoon.
Hey, Vaughn, what's up, bro?
Hey, I'm here, my brother. What's happening?
I am great. I am great. I think personally, Mr. McCartney, we tried to, you know, we did a video one time ago in front of Christopher Columbus. Listen to me. The brother might be wrong for destroying government's property.
Mm-hmm.
But Mr. McCartney, I think that should have come down years and years ago.
Right.
Because, and people texting and going on social media about why they bombarded with Columbus statue, the same people who's asking that question, do your diligent history. All right? Columbus did not discover the Bahamas.
Nope.
And people in schools are still teaching people that. Didn't the Arawak Indians here were here first?
Yeah, they were.
Okay, so how is it that Columbus discovered the Bahamas?
The Luca Kari. He didn't discover anything, right?
He didn't discover nothing.
So, I don't know what we're talking about.
And Mr. McCartney, if you know, Rich and I know you know, the history on Columbus by Googling and getting your facts and research.
Mm.
Listen, a person like Columbus, if people really, really know who Christopher Columbus was, you wouldn't even call his name.
Correct.
Because of the injustice that he did to the people of countries. In some countries, you can't even mention Christopher Columbus' name. And any place where his statues are around the world, used to be, they're down.
Yeah, they vandalized.
The gentleman might be wrong for the destruction of government property. But listen to me, Mr. McCartney, I really don't care if I get condemned for this. I wish people could go, the next one they need to knock down is Queen, the one by the hotel right there, British Colonial. The next one, knock down all of them and put up some of our forefathers or people who you can say, well, you can tell your son or daughter, who's that daddy on top of that thing? Oh, well, that's Prime Minister or this one and that one, who was a Bahamian. But if you tell people Christopher Columbus, he ain't do nothing for the Bahamas. Nothing at all. So those who on social media and calling talk shows believe Christopher Columbus, I wish you could clone everybody in Nassau and I could go on big crane and knock down every last one.
I mean, I don't want him there either, man.
Have a good day, bro.
All right, I'm with you. All right. Totally. This says the right historian should revise the history of all countries, and in particular the Bahamas, during that era, who saw it necessary to put up Christopher Columbus statues. It says, wasn't Queen Victoria in reign when slavery was abolished? Yep. Mm-hmm. She was reigning when slavery was there, too. So, I don't... good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution.
Yes, hello. Good afternoon.
Hey, how's it going?
Yes, I'm all right, sir.
Good.
Mr. McCartney, I want you to know that I condemn that act on the weekend, and I don't feel it was necessary, especially at this time. And at the point right now, I think, you know, Bahamas are being so driven by this violence and this tyranny and this insurrection type of life, you know, we need to get on with that. We're trying to fix this little country as best as possible as we could. Those tattoos aren't doing us nothing much, although they have their own symbolic simulations. But give it out, sin, cast the first stone. You show me one Bahamian without sin to cast the first stone against a person that died was supposed to have discovered this country over 500 years ago. Why are we trying to be the judge of whether his statue be there or not? You know, it's that's nothing to do, whatever it is. You understand me? Let's go with things that is going to make a better and a change in this country. You know, I condemn that act. I don't want to see the statues up, which especially when they depict persons that did abuse and and enslaved our people. But at the in the meantime, I do not like to see condemnation and insurrection, tyranny, all these things. You know, and persons exciting more violence. Listen, we already have problems now in our country. We need to get this country back on power and stop agitating foolishness. This is what the devil and those same persons that incite these riots worldwide. They are poisoning the minds and the hearts of persons to destroy their own countries. It's not commendable as a Bahamian, and I do not like it, Mr. McCartney. And I want the Bahamian people to be very aware and safe that we must put God first in everything we do. And however our actions were to take us, we should use that time to be motivated and motivate ourselves to doing good, doing well, because we have children in this country and we have people that we need to be to respect us and stay on that respectful level. Let's not drive ourselves to those little trivial, small things, Bahamian people. I love you guys. Y'all have a good day.
Okay, thanks. Again, I don't condone taking, essentially the law into your own hands. It's government property. I don't want the statue there. I don't want Government House there. It says if we get rid of the statues, we might as well get rid of the forts. The forts, I think, tell a much-needed story about the actual history of the Bahamas. One can argue that Government House does as well, too, but it just stands for so much that I oppose. The statues are just us honoring these people. And I don't think we need to. Right? It says, one, I'm going to take a boat to Spain, and wherever I land, I'm going to claim it as Bahamian land. Try that. Let me know how that works out for you. It's the same thing with UK land. Let me know how it works out for you. This says, one, in the old days, an officer would be facing and watching that statue 24/7. A guard's always supposed to be watching that gate and entrance to Government House. Yep, agreed. Says, one, all of us have sin, but not all of us have statues praising us. Correct. Let's take another phone call. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution.
Yes, good afternoon, Mr. McCartney.
How's it going?
Yeah, bless it. I agree with the last texter because, you know, I kind of in the 50s, so I knew an officer used to always be in front of the Government House, you know, with a rifle.
Mm-hmm.
And so the fact that they didn't have a camera and you know, it's supposed to be in the dark ages as far as surveillance, and they take security by joke. But what I wanted to touch on was the fact that the Treaty of Tordesillas was commissioned by the Pope in 1494, right?
Mm-hmm.
Which is 2 years after Columbus came back. So we know what kind of information he carried back for them in order for them to decide to share the world in half. Started the European wars, but the thing is, I'm not worried about the statue. I'm worried about what's coming at you, and so we still have these colonial stains in our brains. So it's really the living that I'm worrying about. You know, I really wouldn't like for the young gentleman to go to jail, but you know, it's really beyond a statue. But when you look at all the different constructs and what the world is facing, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to be pacified by that. So the gentleman who called and said, you know, the violence and all of that. Yeah, I mean, and I agree with some of the things he said, but God have no other hands but our hands. So just a message to him. Your obedience, even in the Bible, there was disobedience. You know, they're not going to tell you about the Jewish uprising and Flavius Josephus, et cetera. So much to be told to the underred, mindless sheep, subservient sheep. Obedience and subservience breeds totalitarianism. And I asked the question the other day, how and why do we enslave ourselves? I want someone to answer that because, you know, I read philosophy, and one of the ways is we lionize politicians and obedience. And mass psychosis. Those are some of the ways that we enslave ourselves. Have a good day, brother.
Okay, my brother. Let's do one more call, and then we'll take a break. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution.
Good afternoon, one.
Hey, how's it going?
I respect. That's not true. Supposed to move long time.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want them fired to defend for us against them. The only thing I want them to do, put them on 6 months probation because something could happen to be government general. That's what I don't like about that.
Yeah, the breach in security, yeah.
Yeah, the security-wise, something could happen to the governor general and the whole country will have been upset over that. But I ain't give him no right to knock it down. But I give the government them. Because when we teach we generation were coming up, they're supposed to know the truth. That Christopher Columbus, not you supposed to be from in the front there a long time.
Agreed, yes.
And that gave my boy who knocked it down, gave him 1 month in prison. And that's it. Because we can stop trying to sugarcoat what's going on in this country.
Yes.
And one, you talking the truth with Clint Watson. Because he's trying to change everything. That's the only way we can know what's going on in the country to your journalist. And I respect that. Stand up for what you stand up for, everyone.
All right.
You're doing a good job.
Thank you, my brother. Thank you so much. It says he did not destroy the Bahamas. He destroyed a statue. It says, Juan, I want to see those blonde weaves the judges wear. They all seem to be thrown in the bottom of the ocean. Yeah, I don't like the wigs either. Let's go to a break, and we'll be back on the other side.
Services Limited has been printing checks, business forms, and deposit books in the Bahamas for over 30 years. We are highly specialized in creating custom forms to suit any and all your business needs. If you need continuous forms, continuous invoices, invoice books, or purchase orders, we can provide them for you. Call 677-8720 or email checks@coralwave.com.
MyGateway is the centralized, safe, secure way to access and pay for government services online. Go to mygateway.gov.bs and log in to request a police character certificate, renew your passport or driver's license, and more. Receive emails confirming requests and alerts when documents are ready. You must have a valid government-issued ID in order to collect documents. MyGateway is fast, easy, and convenient. Go to mygateway.gov.bs and register today.
You have a new text message from Scotia.
Scotiabank is adding text messaging to its communication channels to keep customers updated in quicker and safer ways. As of November 4th, Scotiabank will be using text messaging to provide notifications on the minimum payment required for your credit card and due dates. Customers may continue to access their credit card statements on Scotia Online or through our mobile banking app. Learn more by contacting customercare-bahamas@scotiabank.com or call 356-1697.
Throughout our lifetime, we must all make decisions. No matter how we choose, the right one just needs to be made. Like having J.S. Johnson Insurance Agents and Brokers as your insurance partner. We've been serving the Bahamas for over 100 years. Whether you need home, motor, marine, or commercial insurance, make the right decision. Call 397-2100 or visit jsjohnson.com.
J.S.C., 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 J.S. Johnson Insurance.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Good afternoon, Bahamas. Welcome back to the Revolution here on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. My name is Juan McCartney, and we dealt chiefly with two things today, which is the vandalizing of Christopher Columbus's statue and also the proposed press guidelines. I hope I gave you a better understanding of it and what the implications are. Okay? This says, it is obvious that mostly black people don't understand the power of statues and images. When you honor a person by statues, it's a form of worship, and what they represent sends a spirit over the nation. This may be the reason why the spirit of murder is over this country, because that is what Columbus did. Oh. This says, question that I have that confounds me is, how is it that a bulletproof vest becomes illegal? I can't conceive that Can Mr. Monroe strike that law down? Yeah, I don't understand why bulletproof vests are illegal. Anyway, why you need special permission to purchase a bulletproof vest? Like, what is the problem? Is it because you believe that they're going to go commit crimes and police can't effectively shoot them? Because what I see y'all packing could tear right through M-Vest. I don't get it. Now, if you tell me you got to register your purchase of a bulletproof vest, that's fine. You have to register your purchase of different things in this country for safety reasons. I totally get it. But I don't understand why you can't have a bulletproof vest, particularly for people who, like, work at businesses, et cetera, like that. I know guys who own and run liquor stores, they wear the bulletproof vest, and they said the police come and give them grief about it, but they're like, look, you ain't gonna be here when this dude robbing me and shoot me. You can come afterward and, like, tape up the place and bring the body bag, but I need the protection. Please inform us, the taxpayers, who's the new chairman of the Water and Sewage Corporation. I don't think they've chosen a new chairman as yet. This is one, statues are not only designed to be celebrated, statues are symbols that represent an ideology that's designed to be etched in one's psyche, hence control. Agreed. Hey, Juan, you really surprised that security lacking? As I said, after the murder of Percival Papal, I have deep questions about the Defense Force's capacity to secure a government house. So it did surprise me that old boy was able to, like, make a speech and holler and shout, and people were, like, videoing him from the street. But, like, where was y'all? Like, real talk. I know it's a big place, but shouldn't several of you be there? It says change.org had petitions with thousands of signatures to remove those statues, get rid of them all. Columbus wasn't a hero. Well, I agree. Get rid of them. It says, the Honorable Mr. Pinling throwing the mace out of the window was an act of civil disobedience. The Burma Road riot was an act of civil disobedience. The U.S. getting independence was civil disobedience. It is necessary to disobey when things aren't right. At times, you do need to take matters into your own hands. I wouldn't place this man bussing off Columbus arm and leg up there with the Mr. Pinling and Sir Milo Butler not being allowed to make amendments to the boundaries report and majority rule. So it's not at that level for me. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution.
Afternoon.
How's it going?
Afternoon, Mr. McGuire. The statue supposed to then be down a little while. We know that. Everybody know that. But they hold them things up for their own purposes and to keep the people brainwashed. Because they even still got the curriculum in school. True or not?
Yeah, they still teach it in schools.
So if they still teach it in school, if they take it down and put it in the museum and away from the people, that would be better. But they need to get rid of the curriculum.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, totally agree. We need to teach what it is that he really did. It says, that caller forgot we pay in 9 Gs a month for the GG to live out East Day. Well, yeah, the Governor General was not there when that happened. But I take his larger point to mean, if that can happen, then what happens if the Governor General is there? Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution.
Hello, Brother Vaughn.
Hey, how's it going?
Simeon here. How are you doing?
I'm great. How are you?
Bless you. Very well. Two things. One is, I think we're leading to, you know, the underlining factor is, do we want to be a republic?
Right.
Or the second thing is, I think, and I invite you to consider, we need a national debate on this, because both sides are as strong and vociferous as the other side. And I say, let's have a sensible, intelligent national forum on our history. One point I remember reading somewhere that as long as the hunter writes the story, the lion gets killed. But if that lion could write, he'll tell another story that the hunter was devoured. we need to look at our history and see that all the things we thought were good and benefited and became some even gained sainthood, we need to revise it. So let's have a national debate.
I agree. I think that that's what we should do. And we could come to some resolution that way instead of, like, taking hammers and breaking
taking
stuff up.
Hammers and thing, you know. Now, mind you, if I think when you read history, we should don't destroy Columbus' statue, but put it in Fox Hill Prison.
There you go.
How about that?
Yeah, you can put it on the grounds. Yeah, right.
Put him right there in Fox Hill Prison. We still have the statue, but we are saying that's right. Where he belongs.
That's exactly where he belongs. Absolutely. Thanks so much. All right, take care. Thank you for calling. Okay, I'll read a few texts, then we have to get out of here. It says, one, why not compare the statue to the mace? They both were broken. I'm just saying the axe, to me, don't, they're not the same in weight. It says, destruction of property and destructive behavior is never okay. Whatever the reason, get civilized, please, and stop the ridiculousness. Says again, all these territories were claimed by larger countries before independence. So what we gonna do? Target them next? Ridiculousness. No, I just want to. The symbols, right? There's power in symbols. Yes? Tell me there's not. Right? You see the sign of the cross, and you automatically understand that symbol. You see a fish, you automatically understand that. So the vast majority of people in the world would understand that symbol. All right? You see a swastika, right? And there's power in that symbol that was co-opted from, I believe, Tibet. This is, I think we should do away with the post of Governor General, become a republic, make Government House a museum, and move the statues of Victoria and Christopher there. Let that be a museum dedicated to colonialism and the atrocities that happened during that time so we never forget. I'm down for different options. All right. Says, put the Columbus statue on the beach on San Salvador and make a tourist attraction around it. No long talks, too much talking, remove the statue now. My question is, what are they gonna do with it? And he said they'd discuss it at a cabinet level, whether they repair it or not. This says, the Defense Force takes the same approach to security that they provide the embassies as they do at Government House. They're just like watchmen, nothing military about their approach. Well, my friend, they sure are armed to the teeth outside the U.S. Embassy. So that's like if I were to come to you and go, yeah, a guy snuck onto the grounds of the Liberty Overlook, the U.S. Ambassador's residence, right, the official U.S. Ambassador's residence, and was able to just destroy stuff. You would legit ask me, what are you talking about? How is that possible? Knowing how difficult it is to get in there. All right? But we just go, yeah, Government House, dude, you know. Bust up the statue, no problem. It says, be grown, we don't like to talk. We don't like a lot, be it symbol or people. Freedom of democracy, remember. Right? It says, you realize how many times we think of stuff after a disastrous event. No one is thinking strategically. This is, it took a man getting shot for a suggestion of CCTV at Government House. I was shocked to learn they didn't have it. Where are the strategic thinkers? Can we establish a ministry of strategic thinking? Yeah, something. Let the deliverables unit deal with it. It says, will the names be published for the new government boards and agencies? I don't know that they're having all new government boards and agencies. I believe that they will, but I haven't received any names as yet. It says, one, this man made the Defense Force look bad. The Commodore painfully explained what happened because it happened on his watch. There needs to be a review of the security. How could this man take over the premises undisturbed? Now, and we got to get out of here. Again, I need to know that the Defense Force is on the job, right? Because the Defense Force is tasked with protecting a lot. All right. So I want to make sure that they're okay, that the detention center, yes, right? When they have people in custody, they're responsible for them, the safe houses, the embassies, yes, the consulates are supposed to be protected by them. So there's a lot that needs to be accounted for. Okay, that's going to do it for the show today. Lord willing, we'll be back tomorrow. You guys take care out there and have a great day, Bahamas.